You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, and what I want you to do is hold your finger in Exodus chapter 2 for just a minute, and be turning to Proverbs 22 as well. I just want to read the verse. If you just want to listen, you feel free to do that, but really the thought of the message would be from Proverbs 22 and verse 6, but I want to go and look at Exodus chapter 2 to kind of get that and bring it out this morning. So hold your finger there in Exodus chapter 2. Let's listen to Proverbs 22, verse 6. We are thankful to be here this morning. Certainly glad to have Mom and Daddy with us. Glad Trinity could be with us. It's been a little while since her or Branson been able to be here, but we're glad she could be here this morning. Certainly glad we all could be here together. Verse 6 of Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Oh, that is such wonderful encouragement to a mama and daddy, or to a mama or a daddy. It's such wonderful encouragement, and yet it's so vitally important that we do our part. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Well, what is the way they should go? I think even that path has been lost for so many people today. But I'm going to give you what God said. His way. That's the way they should go. Not the way of the world. So it is not for me to look at the world and see what is the idea of the world for my children. Because the world wants to destroy our children. They're not looking out for them. They're not trying to teach them the right way. Lord said, look for the old paths. That's the good way, and walk therein. You'll find rest for your souls. You'll find peace there whenever we walk in God's path. But we have to deal with the world. We have been left here in the world as God's people, as lambs in the midst of wolves. So you lambs realize that you're raising up little lambs and that those wolves want to devour them. And we have an adversary, the devil, that is seeking whom he may devour. And there's nobody he would like more than to get our children and devour them. And so we need to be constantly on guard, paying attention to what's going on around us. Because that's not going to get better. The world is not simply going to lay off eventually. It's going to get worse. Deceivers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And again, who are they deceiving? They're deceiving us. They're deceiving our children. And so they learn, even at a younger age than ever, they're trying to attack our children. So the Lord tells us, you train them up. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them up. So it's important. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. We cannot believe for our child, and you know that. I don't have to teach you, but I want to just stress that this morning. I can't believe for my child. When they come to a place they're lost, as heart-wrenching as that is as a parent to see that child lost, I can't believe for them. They have to believe for themselves. So train them up. Train them up. Show them. Teach them. God's going to call you at some point. God is going to deal with your heart at some point in life. And when he does, you surrender. You trust Jesus and let him save your soul. And then live in front of them in such a way that they say, I want what mom and daddy's got. I want that. They shouldn't look at us and say, my goodness, all over here is fussing. My goodness, it's a war zone at the house. I just want to get out of the house. That shouldn't be the environment that they're in. And yet so many times that's what young people see. And they don't want what we have. They want to get away from what we have. And so I want to remind us this morning, train up a child in the way they should go. Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. She hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smitten a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. We'll cease reading with these verses. Train up a child in the way he should go. I want us to consider Jochebed. I know you didn't read that name in that passage, but that's who mother was, the mother of Moses. And let's look at Moses' mother this morning. And though we don't have a lot of information about her, especially here in this passage, you can turn and read in other places a little bit about her. I believe we have enough to get across the thought in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Moses made a choice when he was grown, and that was to go out to his brethren. Now, if we were to look at Hebrews 11, verse 25, it says there that Moses, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Now, I want us to kind of roll back just a minute and let's look in a little deeper. How did he learn about the recompense of reward? How did he learn about his brethren? How did he learn these things? So, today we refer to a child being nursed. And I'm going to try to be real vague in some of the things I'm going to say here. But we kind of draw a different conclusion than what may have been in the Bible. We think of a child being nursed as one that's on the milk for between ages 1 to 3. I hit that pretty good. I know maybe some a little longer than that. But I believe we promote, for the most part, between 1 to 3, we try to have them off milk. But when you think about this passage here, don't think of that, because that's how we think because of our culture. But in this culture, she nursed the child, and the child grew. She no doubt had this child to the age of somewhere around 6 to 8 years old. That's what it meant in that day to nurse a child and to wean that child. Whenever you read in the Bible that baby was weaned, that don't mean he was 3. It means somewhere around 6 to 8 years old. That's whenever they generally allow their kids to be influenced by the outside world, really. Mama has that child for the most part. Of course, Daddy has his part as well, but for the most part, Mama has that child until around the age of 6 to 8 years old. Now, I think about our day and time and what we think. 19, you know, that's just too young to let go of my baby. And nowadays, you know, children grow up and they're 17, 18 years old and they haven't got their driver's license yet, because I just can't let go of my child. The world is just too dangerous. I can't let go of my child. The Bible teaches us that there comes a time we got to let them go. We got to let them go whether we want to or not. Mom and Daddy, that might be hard for us to hear, but we've got to let go of the bowstring. They're arrows in the quiver, and they're not meant to stay in the quiver. They're meant to let them go. And so we need to be shooting them true and aiming them at the right targets. But here, you think about a woman that she knew that I am raising this child. This is my baby, but because of how things are, God has intervened and He's given me a little time that I can spend with my baby. And then at some point, I'm going to have to release my child into the world. And Egypt no doubt represents the world as good as anything else you're going to find in Scripture. You look at Egypt, you look at the world. And so she had about 6 to 8 years to instill something into the heart of her child. So what do you instill in the heart of your child? Well, I got to make sure they're good and educated. We get that luxury, don't we? We get that luxury. I'm in charge. I was in charge of making sure my children been educated. I got to make sure they're in sports. We get that luxury. We live in America. We get to choose. Do we want our children to play sports? What are we going to do with that? How much are we going to allow in their life and all of this? We get to make these choices. But she had up until, we'll say, the age of 8, that I've got to get something instilled in my child because at some point I'm going to have to release this child. And so she releases this child around age 6 to 8 years old back to the world, back to Egypt. A child is the most impressionable in these early years. They learn to trust the most in these early years. A child does. You think back to when you were a child, there's a lot of things you learned by the time you were 8 years old. There's a lot of things you adopted that you still hold to today that you learned when you were between, 5 to 8 years old, somewhere along in that, or 4 to 8, however you want to look at that. But a child is very impressionable during these years. They learn to trust, and they learn not to trust during this time. They learn, and I'm not saying they can't pick up something and God can't help a child even overcome a bad raising. I've seen that many times where mom and daddy just totally was a flop, and a child turns out to be wonderful and follow the Lord. I'm not saying God can't rescue one, but for a parent, we need to understand, they learn to obey the most in these years. You don't wait till they're 8 years old to start training them to obey. Well, they're cute. I just can't get on to them whenever they, 4, 5, 6 years old. Maybe so, you might look at it and say it's cute, but they're learning at this time, and they're very impressionable, so they learn to obey the most during these years. They learn instruction like a sponge. A lot of times we have Bible school and we'll give them a verse. So I just don't know if they can learn this verse in a week's time. Huh. They can learn an entire psalm in a week's time. You just, if you don't believe it, try it. These little fellas, they pick up things if you teach them. They learn. They just absorb like a sponge. And so they learn instruction during this time. So Jochebed, she trained up her child in the way he should go because she would eventually have to let him go into Egypt's system. Now, don't you think whenever this mother, stepmother, I don't know how you would term her, this Egyptian mother takes this little boy at 8 years old, don't you think in her mind, I'm fixing to do my best to train him to be an Egyptian? No doubt he was under tutors. Come in and teach him the education system. They began to teach him how to walk in the palace. You couldn't walk in the palace just any old way. You had to be taught how to present yourself in the palace. Had to be taught that. And no doubt they taught Moses how to present himself in the palace. They would teach him, no doubt, about the Egyptian gods. Have y'all ever read where, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 33. I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure that's where it's at. Numbers 33, it tells how that when the Egyptians, the plague, the death plague come through and those babies died during that time, that they buried their babies on top of their gods. You'll read that in Numbers. It's Numbers 33, I'm pretty sure. They buried those babies on top of their gods. With an S. Multiple gods. So, no doubt Moses, he didn't go to Egypt to learn about God. He learned to Egypt to unlearn what he had learned. And so he would have learned about, I believe they have several different gods. I got Ra and Bastet and Thoth and Isis and Osiris and Horus and Anubis. Many other gods that Egypt looked at, but those were some of the main ones during that time. And no doubt the worldly Egyptians tried to educate young Moses, maybe tried to train him up to believe like they believe, and to break what he had learned from Jochebed. But she had done her part. She had done her job. She trained up a child in the way he should go. And so he had been trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he went out unto his brethren. He remembered his God. He esteemed the promises of God more than all that Egypt could offer him. I tell you what, as God's people, we need to understand that. That God give me my children. They're mine. They don't belong to the government. They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to me. Those are my children. It's my responsibility. It's my wife's responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. Because we believe the promises of God. And we train them up in a way that whenever they get old, they remember God. They remember their people, their brethren. This church is important to our children. And even if God moved them to go somewhere else, they need to look for a church that believes like we do. Not some foreign stuff. And we need to make sure that that's instilled in their hearts. And so, reckon where he learned the promises of God. Don't you think Jochebed had a part in that? When he esteemed the promises of God more than anything that Egypt could offer him, don't you think Mama had a part in that? She took those little 8 years, 6 to 8 years, and she said, "Come here, son, I'm going to teach you about our God. I want you to know about the true God. And I want you to know," she may have went so far, "they're going to try to tell you different. But you remember what Mama taught you. You remember it. You remember what thus saith the Word of God. You remember it." And he did not depart from it. Parents, we need to train up our children with a solid biblical foundation. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. This is Clear Branch, and y'all do a wonderful job with these kids. And it just tickles my heart. The older generation here wants to look down and help these younger ones. And no doubt you've been a great blessing to my children. I've said that many times. But we need to invest time and interest in these children. If we don't, the world will take their little minds and they'll teach them whatever they want them to know. And look at what they're learning in the world today. It just blows my mind when I look. Where did common sense go? Well, somewhere along the way, people quit teaching. People quit setting the example. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 21, y'all remember Hannah and how she wanted a child and she's not able to have a child and she prayed for a child. God, I want you to give me a man, a child. And God blessed her and she had Samuel. Look at verse 21. And the man Elkanah, which would be her husband, and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned." And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. What's her plan? I'm going to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to train him up. I'm going to train up my child. And when he's weaned, what does it mean to be weaned? How old? We said around 6 to 8 years. You go and look at Abraham when he took Isaac, when he had been weaned. He's old enough to carry firewood. So he's not just a toddler. He's carrying the firewood for the sacrifice. And so she said, I'm not going to go up. I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and thereby forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So he went ahead and he went in and he worshiped. So he knew about worship. Oh, reckon who taught him how to worship? She spent some time, didn't you? If we invest time in our children, and I know that's asking a lot because we said, my goodness, that's the one thing I don't have is time. I don't have time. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I make time. As parents, we have to make time. Our children are important. Grandparents, even. We have to make time for our grandkids. And that shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. Our children are heritage from the Lord. They're more important than watching another episode or another binge watch on Netflix. They're more important than catching up on Facebook. They're more important than the things that catch our attention a lot of times. They're more important than having a new Z71 or having a new brand new house or anything like that. They're more important than things. And so if we invest our time, if we train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when the time comes, even though they're young, we can release the bowstring and that arrow flies straight. Will they ever mess up? Has there ever been a human being that hasn't messed up yet? We all make mistakes, don't we? So I tell you what, they're making some bad mistakes. How many of you can say you never made a bad mistake? How many of us? I don't want some. There's a whole season in my life that I don't want to sit down and talk to nobody about. I don't want to talk about some of that stuff I've done. And so we shouldn't expect them to be perfect. But we should have faith in the Word of God. And you say, well, mine seem like going down a bad road right now. Well, pray for them. I wonder how many times my mama prayed for me. Daddy prayed for me. My son's not acting right. He's being rebellious. He's doing some dumb things. I wonder how many times they prayed for me. I'm thankful for that. You know, it's times whenever I looked at my children, I thought, they don't seem like God's word panning out. I'm doing my part and seem like they're not doing their part. And then watch God bless, touch their hearts, convict them, turn them around. It's wonderful to trust the Lord. We got to invest some time in them, though. And not just, I know the bulk of it is looking to the parents, but God gave these little children a church to come to. They're precious. I love hearing these cries. I love it. It distracts me or whatever. I've tried to preach without it. I'm glad it's here. I'm glad it's here. It blesses my heart to hear them because I know that, you know, they've been trained up right. been trained up in the house of God. They know that they need to come to church. That's where they're going to hear instruction. When the time comes, we can look at our little ones. If we've done our part, we can say, God's got them. He's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of them. I just believe that if we'll trust the Lord will honor His word. I believe that. Now, I know that we live in a time where it's not popular. This message is not popular. I'm glad I'm preaching it here. It is not popular in a lot of places, but as a lot of people will say this, I just believe that I should let my child be free to do things and follow their own heart, and you know, they'll make the right decisions if they just follow their heart. God's word said no. He said their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart of a child. How many of us, if we'd have just followed our heart and didn't have some kind of, you know, parent supervision, we followed our heart, thinking what kind of trouble we would be in. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Moses didn't bring Jochebed to shame. She did something right. She did not leave that child to himself. She instilled some things, no doubt. Today, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We have boys identifying as girls. Girls want to identify as boys. And there's nobody there telling them no. There's no older men teaching the younger men to be grave, to be temperate, to be sober-minded, to be men. There's no older women teaching the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be chaste, discreet, keepers at home. Nobody there to teach them these things. And so they grow up and, well, what's the world say? And you know what the world says. The world says we can't even put that they're a male on their birth certificate. Let them decide later on down the road. As a reporter said this, and I don't think a lot of the reporter, but he made a statement. I thought it was some kind of good. He said, when he was a child, he said, I identified as a pirate. He said, I am so glad somebody didn't take me and sign me up for eye removal and peg leg surgery. I'm so glad they didn't. They let me grow out of that stage, maybe taught me out of that stage, but you think about that. I mean, what Jerry Clark said, one of them fellas identified as a log truck. Everywhere he went, he hitting that Jake brake. You know, children, I mean, we leave them to themselves. They'll bring us to shame. And you look at the country we're living in now, and what you see is in a lot of places, it's a shame. It's a shame. It's child abuse is what it is. That's what it is whenever we don't teach them. Clear Branch, these children, they're just too precious to let the world indoctrinate them. Train up a child. And church, it's our responsibility to shine a light before them. We are the light of the world. But look, it starts at the house. You shine that light at the house, in your home. We are the light of the world, there's no doubt. And we want to see the world change, and we need to do our part to get out with us to the world. Don't forget about what's going on at home. Train up these children. And I thank you so much for how you've done it. This is a reminder message, because I know I'm not telling you something you don't know. But let's don't forget it. We'll ask for something.